Mr. Jones had been caught by the inclement weather as he made his way to a local cafe. There, in exchange for a cooked breakfast, he would happily clean or do odd jobs. This was a routine he found more than equitable. But today, with an icy wind biting into him and a sodden overcoat that had started to leak, he decided it would be more expedient to postpone his journey until the storm ceased. Now, in need of somewhere to shelter, he shuffled to the nearest warehouse and pressed his hand gingerly against the door. Finding it unlocked, he pushed it open and surreptitiously slipped inside. A moment later, he was safely ensconced in the entrance, just behind the covered doorway. With the noisome odour of a previous visitor still lingering, the area was at least dry and free from the wind. Feeling better, but still in need of restoring his shattered equilibrium, Mr. Jones rummaged deep inside a pocket of his overcoat and withdrew an ancient tobacco tin. Carefully easing it open, he pulled out a cigarette paper and then unravelled enough tobacco to make the size of smoke he wanted. Once the cigarette had been fully assembled, he nonchalantly popped it into his mouth, took out an ancient lighter, and, with its distinctive clink, flipped open the lid. Momentarily mindful that cigarette smoking was considered an unpleasant and dangerous habit, he nevertheless gave the lighter's thumb wheel a sharp flick and sent it spinning against its flint. Even though producing a worthy pyrotechnic display of sparks, the wick's ignition remained elusive. Undeterred, he tried again, but instead of the desired flame, there was a sudden and almighty crash from somewhere outside the warehouse. Startled, Mr. Jones pushed the door ajar and peered out. 20 yards away, through oblique shafts of heavy rain, he could see a massive warehouse door had been thrown open. 2 men had stepped cautiously into the road, dressed in shabby, powder-blue jumpsuits with insignia on their shoulders and the names Stein and Galloway respectively stitched above their left breast pockets. Mr. Jones rightly assumed they were soldiers. Although he didn't know from where they had come, he couldn't but help notice how tired and exhausted they looked. Even slamming the warehouse door seemed to take an enormous effort, but not as much as when they started to lollop along Shad Thames in the direction of Mr. Jones. Fearing an assault, he pressed himself deeper into the sepulchral gloom of his doorway. With the soldiers almost parallel with his hiding place, Mr. Jones raised his untrained fists in a gesture of self-defence. But instead of attacking him, the soldiers jogged by at the precise moment the warehouse door, this time accompanied by a chorus of human shouts and screams, was again kicked open. The Battle of Shad Thames was far from over. As the 2 soldiers ducked into a doorway further up the road, Mr. Jones looked in the direction of the turmoil and saw, pouring out of the warehouse, a group of terrified men and women. Discombobulated, they desperately milled around until 3 uniformed policemen, 2 of whom were armed with machine pistols, also pushed their way from the warehouse and into the road. On seeing the guns, and fearing the inevitable, the group, now screaming even louder, began to run for their lives. Without hesitation, the armed constables levelled their weapons and, in short controlled bursts, started to fire. As the muted sound of discharging weapons reverberated around the tall buildings, bullets ripped into bodies. First one, then another hit the rain-drenched road with a sickening thud. This was followed by more gunfire and yet further people dying. Even Mr. Jones, standing in his doorway, traumatized by events, had been shot. Caught by a stray bullet, and with the same unlit cigarette still between his lips, a man who had never harmed anyone slid down the warehouse wall and died. With 20 bodies strewn along the road, the police constables moved quickly among their victims, attaching a transporter module to each corpse. The 3rd policeman, who was dressed as a 1980s police inspector and unarmed, watched as the constables diligently worked without a flicker of concern or emotion. When they had finished, the police inspector slipped a small silver box from his pocket and pressed the slide control on the side. With a high-pitched whine and a slight...